We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Find the ball. They're going to try to score the tying run, and they do. And it gets away. LSU will walk it off. Oh, my goodness. What just happened?
LSU and somebody. Who was it?
Auburn.
Auburn. A walk-off pass ball error throw. Ball went in the dirt. Catcher lost it. Couldn't find it. Didn't know where it was. Was off to the right. Ran over, tried to get it. Tying run scores. They throw it away. Winning run scores.
Good hustle. That's a bummer. Hey, in your headlines, congratulations to Toronto Raptors fans. Your team is one win away from their first ever trip to the NBA Finals. They went into Milwaukee and beat the Bucks 105-99. Game 6 in Toronto tomorrow night. And again, if the Raptors win, they will play Golden State in the Finals.
Warriors expect to not have Kevin Durant at the start.
Or DeMarcus Cousins, unlikely to play in Game 1. At least Durant, anyway, but probably not Cousins either.
Do you know when Game 1 is?
Well, let's see. Is this based on whether this thing goes 7? Or
doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't make a difference. All right, so Saturday, Monday, I'm going to say Friday night next week.
Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday, May 30th is Game 1.
9 p.m. probably. That'll be great. Ottawa has hired their new coach. DJ Smith, former Toronto Maple Leafs assistant, is now the head coach of the Senators.
I saw something about him. I'm going to have to pull that up and read it while you're doing headlines. That he had an answer for them regarding their problems and presented it from an analytics standpoint.
Hmm.
And that was a big selling point in why they hired him.
Edmonton reportedly has agreed to terms with Dave Tippett to be their new head coach. Brock Nelson says, I don't need free agency. He re-signs with the Islanders. 6 years, $6 million. For those of you that always call about like salaries, and I tend to be kind of low, and you always wonder, like, really, that much money? Brock Nelson just had his career-high season in points, 53. But he gave up unrestricted free agency, and he got $6 million a year. World Championships, U.S. lost to Russia in the quarterfinals. Canada got lucky, and they beat the Swiss in overtime. The NWHL, the Women's Hockey League, has agreed to increase salaries and improve benefits next season. Baseball, the Yanks beat Baltimore again. The Jays lost to Baltimore. There's a report that Jays are calling up Kevin Biggio from the Bisons. The Mets beat Washington, swept a four-game series. Cespedes is probably out for the year, of course. And the Bisons beat Rochester. Those are your headlines.
And your headlines are brought to you by Northtown Honda. Come experience the best way to purchase a car. Easy to get to from all points in Western New York. Start shopping today at northtownhonda.com.
For DJ Smith, piece from TSN from Darren Dreger. From Ian Mendez about the Ottawa hire. And he said he had a meeting with them. They met for 7 hours and went over Ottawa video from last year.
Man, what do you talk about for seven hours?
Well, that's the thing. They gave up a league-worst 302 goals, maybe.
Maybe they looked at every goal.
Right. So he says that he went back and he looked at it all and he broke it down to tell them what their problems were. To which I would say, not enough good players, right? You traded Carlson and Stone. And
No, it's purely X's and O's.
Yeah.
This guy's in the wrong spot. This the center was out of position. The lack of communication between your two defensemen there.
But he said, I saw the areas I believe I can fix. The numbers showed exactly what areas need to be fixed, and the tape showed the exact same thing. I'm going to use every tool that's going to help us win hockey games. With analytics, just helps you double-check or triple-check that you're doing the right thing. Those numbers, to me, are going to help. And then they went on to talk about accountability, trust, yada, yada.
Quote I saw was like page one in the coach's handbook. Like, we're gonna work hard. We're going to play fast.
We're going to play like
we're going to have effort every night. And I thought, right. I would love, I might even pay a coach at his introductory press conference to sit down and say, we're going to play slow. We're going to be soft. And our effort's going to be inconsistent. Some nights we'll show up, some nights we won't. I would pay a coach to say that. Mm. It was we're going to play, we're going to be tough to play against, we're going to play fast, and we're going to play hard. Something like that. And I thought, right, everybody says that. I want to see a coach say the opposite. and just see what the room does. Like, does he get laughter? Like, he's just, you know, just trying to be sarcastic, be a little funny.
That'd be a bad first impression,
you
though.
Think? I would love to see it.
Even
Every
if he's kidding,
coach said,
that's a bad first impression.
Really? Okay. Well, see, my sense of humor is a little bit different. I think that'd be hilarious. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Krueger has not been formally, he did a conference call. I wonder if they'll do an actual formal introduction with him at the arena when he gets into town. Maybe not. But, we're gonna play slow, and, some nights we'll show up, some nights we won't. All right, thanks, Coach. You're no fun. I think that'd be hilarious. All right, so what do you want to talk? You want to do a little clowny? You want to do a little Kessel? You want to get some baseball? We got a lot to cover today.
The Kessel rumor from last night makes
so some
sense.
So Kessel to Minnesota is the hot rumor right now.
So yesterday, if you're following the Kessel trade rumor, it's Kessel and Jack Johnson to Minnesota for mm-hmm. Jason Zucker and Victor Rask, mm-hmm. who, by the
Which,
way—
That Niederreiter trade didn't work out
right,
so good.
Right, right. It would be a terrible trade for Minnesota. Jack Johnson's awful. And he's 32 now. He's got 800 games. I right away, I sent a message to Chad DeDominicis about this idea. Because if you're following the Kessel rumor regarding Kessel, Johnson, that trade,
mm-hmm.
the general reaction is, oh, my God, Jack Johnson, that's hilarious. First off, it was bad that Pittsburgh signed him. It was bad right away. Everybody knew that's a bad deal. Yeah. Why are you doing that? But what's Jack Johnson? Big, right? Big, physical, tough.
Yeah.
He used to have 40-point seasons.
Hmm.
So I sent a message to Chad and say, is Jack Johnson the original Ristolainen? He at one point was valued as a big, tough, offensively,
yeah.
to some degree, got 40-point seasons, and he showed me their numbers from the last season compared side by side. Jack Johnson versus Ristolainen, about the same.
Really?
Huh. Risto was worse defensively.
Okay.
So here's Jack Johnson being mocked as someone you would want to acquire, but here's a GM saying, I'll definitely acquire that player. I'll take him off your hands.
I would ask you then, maybe he's taking Jack Johnson to make sure he gets Phil Kessel, but he's
yes.
but it's funny, they're giving up
Jason Zucker and Victor Rask.
4 or 5 years younger forward, who's had, I think, like 75 goals the last 3 years. So you give Zucker up and you get Kessel back, who's 30, going to be 32
and there was
come next season.
A little speculation.
And Johnson.
That Kessel would not waive his no trade to go.
Well, he hasn't done it yet. So he's got, I guess, partial no trade, maybe not a full. But he would have to approve a trade to Minnesota. As of yesterday, I think it was Pierre LeBrun had tweeted he had not. Now, the Penguins were thinking he would because he's from Wisconsin. He played 1 year at the University of Minnesota. He's got some friends on the Wild roster. So I think the Penguins were thinking that Kessel would approve the trade. But as of yesterday, he had not. It just goes to the story that the Penguins are doing everything in their power to trade Phil Kessel. I just wonder why Minnesota wants to give up on Zucker.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a good player. He's only 27, and he's been productive for them.
But it's believable because Kessel's name has been mentioned time and time again.
Gone, right? Like, this is... It's just, right? It's just, I think even someone portrayed it as it's not if, it's when Phil Kessel gets traded.
Well, the good news is at least there's a little bit of, trade wind? It's blowing a little bit. Just to see Kessel's name out there, to see the Callahan idea for the Sabres, which again is, it's not about Callahan, it's about the other stuff you get. You only do that favor if you're getting something worth it out of it.
There was one rumor that if it doesn't work out in Minnesota, that maybe Pittsburgh would try and talk to Arizona about Kessel because of Rick Tocchet. Because Tocchet, the former Penguins assistant coach, who was supposedly the Kessel whisperer.
Yeah.
That maybe...
Who called him that for us?
I don't know.
We talked to somebody, and they referred to Tocchet as the Kessel whisperer.
Was it a Penguins media guy that we
might have been
had
one
on?
Of our national guys. I don't know. We've heard that statement.
Yeah. So anyway, that they were talking about if this deal doesn't... If he doesn't sign off on Minnesota, then maybe they talk to Arizona. But... With their ownership situation being a little bit unstable, who knows if they'll be able to pull that deal off. So he's getting traded. It's just a question of where. Zucker, by the way, according to you always like rumors. So Zucker, according to Michael Russo, the Wild have talked to Calgary about Sam Bennett and Michael Frolik. They've talked to Arizona about Christian Dvorak, Christian Fisher, and they've talked to Vegas about Jonathan Marchessault. As a place to maybe trade Jason Zucker. So nice to see things picking up a little bit.
Yeah.
We'd like to see the Sabres mentioned in some rumors. Outside of the Callahan one. They've been mentioning, right.
Well, the Jason Zucker trade to Vegas makes sense because he is from Vegas.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
Well, he'd be happy with that then. And Marchessault actually would be a nice pickup for Minnesota.
Wow, they would trade Marchessault, huh?
Yeah, I guess I'd have to look at contracts too. I don't know what everybody's contract is, but Vegas is really, they have no cap space, so I don't know if that's something that helps them financially. I didn't look at the contract details for Zucker.
Hmm.
But at least there's some stuff. There's some rumors going on. So we'll see what happens in terms of the hockey world, and maybe some things will pick up as we get into next month and get closer to the free agency contact period and then the draft.
Yeah.
And we'll see what Mr. Bottrell wants to do.
Sure, yeah. Bring it on.
You want Jadeveon Clowney? Speaking of trades?
No. No.
Not even a what do I have to give up for him? Just a no?
No.
Okay.
Just a no.
I'm going to hazard a guess that it's...
Why? You're going to guess my
You wouldn't want to give up a first-round pick and then pay him $20 million a year?
That's the answer to that is kind of yes.
Whatever the money would be for a new contract for him.
No, my answer is no, because the next great player I get has to be on offense.
Okay.
I don't want to give up that first-round pick next year because I want to spend it on the offense.
First-round pick? Oh, I was going to say, the first-round pick next year is going on Clowney's position.
I know it is. It's going to go defensive.
They're going to take a pass rusher.
I want it to be spent on the offense. I want the next big contract.
Can I make you bet now that it's on pass rusher?
If the Bills were chasing after Antonio Brown,
yeah,
then I want them to chase after A.J. Green with that first pick before I want them to chase after Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
The offense has been bolstered, sure, right? It's been improved, but... it's got a long way to go, and I want to find – if I'm going to make a trade for an established stud and pay him $20 million, I would have much preferred Antonio Brown over Jadeveon Clowney. Mm-hmm. Brown didn't happen. So can I find the equivalent of Clowney somewhere else out there, whoever it might be? Beckham already got moved. Brown already got moved. Sal's brought up A.J. Green just as an idea, a concept, not to say it would happen. So, I mean, it doesn't mean I don't want the Bills to trade for Clowney. If they did that – people would expect their defense to be the best in the league, and that would be a reasonable expectation. But I'm just waiting for someone else on the offense to be great. We're hoping Allen is. He played a lot of hero ball. He's got a lot more help this year, but someone, a bona fide stud on the offense would be something I'd be looking at more than Clowney.
Yeah, it would if they did trade for him. And for what it's worth, I mean, the GM of the Texans is a guy who used to work for Brandon Bean. It's Brian Gain. And if they did, I don't think they would trade for him because I think it's twofold here. One, you are giving up a first-round pick. And then you've got to reach a contract agreement with Jadeveon Clowney. All right, so he's been franchise-tagged by the Houston Texans. And why is the trade talk going on? They're not really making any progress in terms of a contract extension. So if we hit mid-July and there's still no extension, Clowney plays under the one-year tag, which is $16-ish million. So there's speculation in Houston that they'd be looking to trade Jadeveon Clowney. I don't think, and we'll ask Sal about this at 7:30 when he's with us. I'm not sure that the Hughes extension would factor into this either way. I don't think they would do it because I think, A, he doesn't want to give up his first-round pick. B, then you're going to have to sign Clowney to a massive contract. You know, you look at some of the money that went to free agent defensive ends this offseason, $18, $19, $20 million a year. The Bills have cap space. I don't think they'd want to do that. I don't think, though, I know what you talked about with offense. At this point, I would expect the Bills to take their first-round pick next year and go pass rusher because of Shaq Lawson's contract, and Trent Murphy will have 1 year left. I know they extended Hughes, but I think they'll look at that position and say it needs to be bolstered, and I think they would look to find a talented bookend pass rusher to go with Jerry Hughes with their first pick next year. And by the way, that guy would not cost you $18 to $20 million a year with a massive contract that Jadeveon Clowney would cost you. It's a rookie cost control deal, so I just don't think they would do that. I don't think he'd want to hand out the money. And I don't think they'd want to trade away their first-round pick because they can use it. Look, maybe it does go to offense next year, but I think I would assume that's going to be a pass rusher next year on a very, very...
cheap deal?
Yeah, I was going to say a lower salary than you'd have to pay Jadeveon Clowney, obviously.
Texter writes, and I want Kyle Rudolph instead of Clowney. I mean, he's an older tight end that, I don't know, Rudolph's not a game-breaker. I did say I wanted a game wrecker for the defense. They drafted Ed Oliver. I'm kind of hoping he becomes that. If they got Clowney in a trade, they'd have a couple of them. But
well,
I'd like a game wrecker on the offense to help Josh Allen be, you know, if you want to say he's one at his peak, then of course. But just some stud.
Well, I would. I mean, look, if you had, it's tough to compare the two. Like, I'd rather have Kyle Rudolph because I think the tight end position is in dire need of someone who can make plays. I think the Bills' defense, if Clowney's not here, the Bills can still have one of the best defenses in the NFL. I think the tight end position is, no offense to the guys who are here, I just don't know what you're getting out of it. So I would rather trade for Rudolph. Keep in mind, you're not giving up a first-round pick for Kyle Rudolph, and he's not going to make $18 to $20 million a year if you give him a contract extension. So it's a little bit different than Clowney. It's less to give up. It's less to pay the guy. And if you just want to say, what do you want, a pass-rushing end or a tight end, I would rather take the tight end at this point. I think that's a bigger need for the Bills. It's a big hole on the offense at this point, I think, in terms of the passing game.
One of the highlights of the day you're going to see, beer chugging at the Bucks game. So Bucks-Raptors, there's – who's this? David Bakhtiari?
David Bakhtiari, Packers
offensive lineman. Yep. It's a play in three acts, whatever.
Yeah.
Bakhtiari, Aaron Rodgers, and Christian Yelich are all at the game.
Yeah.
And it becomes a beer chugging contest for famous athletes. David Bakhtiari chugs two beers fast.
I mean,
is good.
I mean, in seconds, like less than five. Like it just he tips that cup.
It's back.
Boom, gone. The beer's gone.
He's got the throat open down.
Yeah, that's. I suppose I shouldn't be this impressed. I'm sure people can chug beer. This is not a new, but just how quickly it went.
So Bakhtiari,
they showed Rodgers first, and then they showed Bakhtiari in the clip that we saw. Like Rodgers, I saw Rodgers first, and then Bakhtiari.
You missed it,
right? I didn't see it from the beginning. By the time I saw it, Rodgers was the guy who was trying to chug.
Right, Bakhtiari went with two.
Okay, see, I saw the second one then from him.
So he goes and slugs two beers.
Boom, gone.
Right off the bat.
Wow, that's fast.
Then they go to Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers starts to drink his beer, and he's smart here because he knows he has no chance against. So he raises up a finger, like, "Hold on a second, hold on." It's going to take me a minute. And he finishes. And they go back to Bakhtiari, who slugs a third beer.
So fast.
It is funny. Will the Packers radio hosts get a call during the season if Bakhtiari gets beat for a sack?
No.
Maybe a little less time slugging beers.
No. Who was it? Was it the Titans offensive lineman at Preds games who were chugging beers, right?
Yes.
I think.
As of late, though, too, San Jose's offensive line did the same thing at a Sharks game, or the 49ers offensive line. Yeah.
These offensive linemen get away with whatever they want. They're allowed to just eat and drink and spray beer everywhere and chug beers.
Because they're offensive linemen.
I know. They can do what they want.
I think, I think you have to do that as an offensive lineman. It enhances your reputation as an offensive lineman if you chug a beer like that.
And if you're a wide receiver at a game and you chug a beer, it's not the same.
Hey, Yelich did a nice job. Yelich would have been second to Bakhtiari.
Yeah, he finished in
and
second.
Ahead of Rodgers. I mean, that beer, he got the whole thing down. Rodgers, I don't even know if he finished the entire beer.
Well, those big guys, they have to consume all those calories. JJ Watt, it was something like 9,000 calories he eats in one day.
Okay, so if I get up to 300 pounds, then I can eat more then. I have an excuse to have more calories.
Play offensive line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if my arms are long enough.
But what a scene, for Milwaukee to have your whole sports world is there. Rodgers is there. Yelich is there.
Yeah, the two big names in town, mm-hmm. Rodgers and Yelich, right? And then Bakhtiari. I thought it was hilarious. Have you chugged a beer like that? Can you make it go down that fast? You probably can.
As fast as Bakhtiari did?
No, right?
I don't know. No.
It's almost like the beer disappeared. Like he tips the cup and magically the beer was just, it vanished. It's gone. I can't believe how fast it went down.
Yeah.
Like, no gulping, just like he inhaled it.
Neil writes in, the Titans guy is on the Bills now. That's right. Who'd they sign from Tennessee?
Oh, it was Quentin Spain.
Was he part of that group?
He was.
We'll see him at a Sabres game next year, chugging beers.
Well, for different reasons.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry about that, Sabres. I'm still mad at you.
You didn't even pull out the snark cannon.
Well,
you're still mad at them?
Yeah,
I understand.
For a little while longer.
You're not the only one.
Have you ever seen anyone shotgun a beer?
Yes, that's where you punch a hole in it and
you punch a hole
in the beer can
in the bottom.
And then you open it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The physics of that is impressive.
I had friends.
The first person to figure that out.
Yeah.
And decide, check it out, we can do this.
It's impressive to watch.
It's something.
I had never seen it before. And then I had friends in Elmira who were, I told you the story about the Super Bowl, the Bears fans, they were shotgunning beers every time the Bears scored when they beat, 45, whatever. They shotgunned a beer every time the Bears got a touchdown in that Super Bowl.
And what was the score?
45-3, 45-10, whatever.
Dangerous.
They were plowed by halftime. Now, they weren't driving. I went to their house to watch the game, and they were just – I'd never seen anybody shotgun a beer before.
trying to think of how many I've done in my life. Not that many. I have not. I'm not a seasoned shotgunner.
No.
No, I've
might help your trick shots.
I've done it before.
Yeah.
The last shotgun beer I saw was my father-in-law on the 17th tee at Sawgrass.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I posted the video.
I didn't see that. I only saw you walking up.
He did a shout out to Bills 16, Mafia, shotgunned a beer, and nice. Then put it on the green.
That's a nice touch. I like that. Yeah, I'm not even sure I could shotgun water. So there's no way.
You could shotgun water.
Could I shotgun water? You know, cut the grass on a 90 degree day. Yeah, you can shotgun. I can just go through a whole big thing of water on a 90-degree day. 803-0550 to join us this morning.
That's the next challenge. I want to see Bakhtiari and Rodgers and Yelich shotgun beers.
Oh, I was going to – you know what? That reminded me. There's a new – remember the ice bucket challenge?
Yeah.
Apparently there's a new thing coming up now, the egg crack. Did you see this? Egg cracking.
Against your own head?
Yeah. Well, no. People crack eggs up to raise money for cancer research.
Okay.
So apparently I saw – you know what? I think it was at ProFootballTalk.com. We'll ask Mike Florio about this. I think it was his blog. I want to say
it's for juvenile diabetes, maybe?
I forget. I wish I knew. There were some athletes who were doing it.
Well, I can tell you my first Google of it brings up a story from 2015, so this might be a regular thing.
Oh, okay.
It kind of just shows up.
I thought it was like a new thing, and there was a challenge.
Yeah, egg on the head for cancer challenge.
Cancer research? Okay. So, yeah, I wish I had the story. I don't know what I did with it.
Remember when
it was Kirk Cousins.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, yeah. So there was a hashtag crack cancer challenge. Kirk Cousins, Everson Griffin, and Dalvin Cook. It entails having raw eggs dropped on your head. And Cousins then challenged Draymond Green from the Golden State Warriors, and I think it's Florio. So apparently he says the video is going to be out about him doing it, and maybe this is going to go where the ice bucket challenge went, where people challenge other people, and you see video, and it's cracking raw eggs on your head.
The Cousins to Draymond connection being?
Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that means you have to do it.
Cracking it? You know what? I would do that instead of the ice bucket. The ice bucket was cold, right?
I would guess it was cold.
I mean, I would do the cracking eggs, right? You just got to, you know, just wash it out of your hair. Well, I have no hair. Yeah, I would do that. Would you not do it because of your hatred of eggs?
No, it's fine.
Okay. We'll do that when I get back from vacation.
I mean, you're more likely to smash a hard-boiled egg on my head than me ever eat one, ever, ever.
I'll bring some hard-boiled eggs in from the house.
Great. You can smash it on top of my head.
It's good. You just, you know, you crack the egg, you have it, you put a little, you crack, you just, okay. Let's get you a win. I'm telling you, it's good. Win cash code. I know, you eat the clams, I'll eat the hard-boiled eggs. The code word is access. So text ACCESS, access, to 72881. You have until 8 o'clock to text the word in. When you do text it in, remember that message and data rates may apply. If you win, you get $1,000. It's our national win cash contest. We will have two more code words this morning at 8:25 and 9:25. Shope and the Bulldog have four code words this afternoon. Access. Text it to 72881 for your chance to win. When we get back, we'll talk some Bills football with Sal Capaccio. That is on the way next on WGR.
Money.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal, come up just a moment. Toronto wins a road game in the NBA playoffs. They go into Milwaukee, beat the Bucks 105-99. First time all year the Bucks have lost three straight games. And now the Raptors can close out that series at home tomorrow night. If they do, they will advance to the NBA Finals and play Golden State, where the Warriors are probably not going to have Kevin Durant for Game 1, might not have DeMarcus Cousins either. Hockey news. Ottawa's new coach is DJ Smith. He was a Toronto Maple Leafs assistant. The Edmonton Oilers reportedly agreed to terms with Dave Tippett yesterday. And Brock Nelson re-signs with the Islanders. He would have been an unrestricted free agent. Instead, he gets a six-year, $36 million contract. At the World Championships in Slovakia, the U.S. lost to Russia in the quarterfinals 4-3. Canada ties the game with 0.4 seconds left and then beat the Swiss in overtime 3-2 to move on to the semifinals. And the National Women's Hockey League has agreed to increase salaries and improve benefits next season. Yankees beat Baltimore. The Jays lost to Boston. The Mets finish off a four-game sweep of Washington with a 6-4 win, and the Bisons beat Rochester 4-3. Those are your headlines brought to you by Smith Boys Marine Sales, your number one source for boating in Western New York.
We've got a lot of replies on the Jeff Skinner thing. We can get Sal's thoughts on this, too. If Kawhi Leonard gets a multi-million dollar penthouse, what can we give Jeff Skinner? Taylor writes in, $10 and my good pen.
Ooh, it's good pen, huh?
Brian has okay. her good pen. Brian writes good in, pen. He's allowed to go swimming at Woodlawn Beach any day, no matter how dirty it is.
That's a perk.
Greg Bauk.
Oh, this
he
be
can
good.
Enter any door in the city that says employees only. Perks.
How about free parking anywhere?
How about he gets a special light on top of his car? So whenever he's on the 198 at that 33 split that goes to the airport, he gets to go to the front line there.
Okay.
And he gets a light. So he through the 198 in Parkside,
yeah,
around 5 o'clock, 435, he just gets to go by everybody.
Can he go over?
These are big perks.
Can he go over 30 on the Skadge?
Yes.
Okay. I hate that speed limit. I just cannot stand it. Can he also avoid traffic? Yeah, so a get out of traffic. No sitting at the water tower on the 290. All right, I'm good with that. Sal's autograph wouldn't hurt either. Sal, what do you think? Autograph picture for Jeff Skinner? We're trying to throw stuff in to keep him here.
Ooh, I don't know how he could turn that down, to be quite honest with
right?
you guys. But,
right, I think golf with you, anything yeah. like that. Would
direct
be...
texting updates of play-by-play from training camp.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, we could do that.
A chance
like
to be on the sideline.
One. That's good. We don't have like horrible traffic, but yeah, that's, you know, when you're by that big blue water tower, it does get a little dicey in there, you know.
I sat there yesterday, so I figured I'd give him a break with having to avoid that. How about being on the sideline with you for Bills games?
You know, he might not want to be out there in the weather that I have to. You know, only the best games, right? The domes, yeah. the warm weather games.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
What he could do.
Maybe just opening day. If you know, they might be busy in training camp. Hey, I want to get to a couple articles that you have posted. Sal with us, by the way, on the Western Hotline, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? 803-0550 if you want to talk with Sal. Before I get to your articles, though, I was mentioning this on the show. So Will Brinson has a piece up at CBS Sports, Sal, and he goes through everybody's over-under, right, and says he gives his prediction whether they're going to be over or under. He took the Bills over their 7-win over-under, and he talked about whether or not the Bills are too trendy. Are the Bills too trendy? Are they getting that much love as a team to be a sleeper this year?
Yeah, I saw that, and I think they are a little trendy in the national media right now. They're getting a lot of praise. They're getting a lot of people telling us, you know, that people are starting to jump on the bandwagon. They're starting to really like, you know, what they've done. But I think that's kind of like it's a game of, oh, well, this analyst is saying this. I better look into it. Or if they're saying this, it must be true. And then it kind of starts going on from there. However, the only thing is, you know, when you say too trendy and yet the over-under is still only 7 wins and most of these same people are still only picking them to be about 8-8. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think they're a team that's gaining a little bit of buzz. I wrote about this. I even did an article recently about a podcast I listened to with Will Brinson and Pete Prisco. Pete mm-hmm. Prisco said the Bills are going to contend for the playoffs in 2019, but they will win the East in 2020, the AFC East.
Yeah.
And Brinson said back to him, what if Tom Brady plays? He said, I don't care. They're still winning the AFC East in 2020. That's
wow.
where they think they're going. So I do think there are a lot of people who believe in this team taking this right step. But to say too trendy, I mean, I don't know. I think the Browns would qualify much more as too trendy because that's a team people are picking to win like 11 games and 12 right. games and win the North and be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, so I'm with you on the Bills. It's almost like there's this the national conversation is it's almost a don't sleep on the Bills, right? It's, hey, this team could be good.
Yeah.
But anytime you say how good they could be, it's always couched with contending for a spot. Not they're going to get a spot, not even that they're going to be in contention for the division. It's just always a, you know, keep it in perspective, I suppose.
Yeah, if I think about the words too trendy, I'm thinking that people are saying they're going to be like really good and like in the Browns type of deal, like that kind of good, but No one's saying that about the Bills. So yeah, I think they're getting some love. I think they're trending in the right direction with a lot of people, and people are catching on to that. But I don't think the expectations are getting too trendy or too out of hand for a lot of people.
Your article, actually, if you want to talk about tie this all in, trendy expectations, where the Bills are going to go, it all depends, right, on how Josh Allen does. So I know you brought this up. We talked about it when you brought it up with Bulldog, but now you have an article up about year two for Josh Allen and, you know, what would be a good year two for him, that kind of discussion. Mitchell Trubisky, how did you land on him?
Well, I just took a look and I thought about young quarterbacks, quarterbacks who, you know, realistically went from year one to year two and where they went. And look, I mean, we all want Josh Allen to be Patrick Mahomes this year, or to go from what Jared Goff went from year one to year two, essentially. That, or, you know, that's what you'd love, to look at Carson Wentz's stats in the second year. Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, no one would say no to that, and I think you hope for that. You hope for he's the best quarterback in the league. But the point I'm making is, if he gets to the level that Mitch Trubisky did last year in his second year, I think that's pretty good, and we'll take it. And if I said to you at the end of the year, here's his numbers, and laid out for you and showed you what Trubisky did, by the way, in 14 games, I think you'd say, okay, yeah, I think that's pretty good, and I'll take it, especially with this defense they could have, which, oh, by the way, the Bears had a great defense last year, and the Bills and Bears have had a lot of similarities in the way in which they built their offenses and teams around their young quarterbacks going into his second year, like the Bears did last year and the Bills this year. But, you know, yesterday I wrote the article. It caused a lot of polarization on Twitter. A lot of people were telling me how bad it was, or dumb I was, or horrible comparison it was.
So it was,
but I
Twitter.
Think it's just because of the name, Mitch Trubisky. Yeah.
Right. I think,
you know,
so.
I mean, if I took quarterback X and I didn't tell you who the guy was, yeah, I think a lot of people would, the people who were fighting it would look and say, oh, yeah, I think I would take that. But because I said it's Mitch Trubisky, and I believe Josh Allen can be and should be better than Mitch Trubisky, I think he has a higher ceiling than Mitchell Trubisky. My point was simply, if you get that season that Trubisky gave you last year, I think we should all be happy with that. And I don't know how you can expect so much more than that, as much as you might hope for it.
Yeah, I think it comes down to your choice of words. Like, if he had that season, I think a lot of us would be happy, because the Bills will have a good year, mm-hmm, as a team. There'll be team success. If he had that season, I think it would be entirely acceptable. I guess you might have people pushing back, Sal, and I might a little bit, is saying that that's a good season. Like, did Trubisky have a good season? Sure. I don't know that he's good yet. You know what I mean? So I think it's very possible that Allen,
right,
that Allen kind of lands in the middle, where he has a totally acceptable season. They have team success, and at the end of it, we're generally happy, but we're still asking the question, how good is he? You know, I expect next year, at this time, our conversation is like, all right, what's the next step from here? There are steps to be taken. Trubisky would be a step forward if he matches that output, and the team success, I think, would follow because of the defense. So that might be where you get some of the pushback, is just what it means, how good Trubisky actually is right now.
But it's also, Jeremy, because I think that, like, I'm not saying that's where he needs to end up and, like, hey, his career is good, that's where we should be and hope that he's going to be this guy. It's the next step. It's his year two. Like, I would certainly hope he'd take another step in year three. And I don't know where Trubisky's going to go in year three. But, yeah, I think, you know, that it's just the evolution and the step. And if you go from year one, and if you look at it, I put the stats together. I put the stats of what each guy was their rookie year, and then I put the stats to what Trubisky was from year one to year two. It was a really big improvement for him. He took a big step. And I'm saying, boy, if Allen, who, by the way, they had kind of similar type of numbers in a lot of ways, their rookie years, and if Allen got to that level with the defense they have, I think they're winning 9 games at least.
Well, I thought that was one of the interesting things in your article. And I think maybe that's the Twitter blowback, pushback, Sal, when that maybe they thought you were saying he'll be Mitch Trubisky. And I look at Mitchell Trubisky and say he's not one of the top young quarterbacks in the NFL. But you wrote in your article that you do think his ceiling is higher than Trubisky's. You're just making a year
two comparison.
Yes, and
again, I don't know. I guess it's maybe I should word it different. Maybe people just don't. People look at the headline, and I have a couple people say, well, I didn't read the article, I just read the headline, he better be better than Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, but you should read the article then. I don't know what to tell you.
I think that was,
you know,
part,
I mean,
of the problem.
It clearly states in there that right, I mean, it clearly states in there. Yeah. I'm not saying, again, I'm not comparing the two players and saying this is who the guy is or this is who she should be. I am not a big fan of Mitchell Trubisky. All I'm telling you is he had a nice second year that I think that if Josh Allen can get to that point, like what he did last year, and he mirrors that second year, I think we should all be pretty good with that and then say, I think we're on the right track. And, you know, and maybe I should have said at least, like, that's the baseline floor that what may, would make you say, okay, I think we're on the right track here now, and I think this kid could be pretty good. Now, what else can you give me in year three and going forward?
Sal with us here at our Wester Hotline. That article's up at WGR550.com. I thought it was interesting, too, because we brought up the Bears model, too, like what they did, you know, with the coach coming in, with the money they spent in free agency on receivers. And you draw a comparison to the Bills following the Bears model. But what I found interesting, though, Sal, did you write that Terry Cohen was their leading receiver in terms of catches? Was that right?
He did. He was.
Wow.
The three guys they signed, Allen Robinson,
Gabriel was in there.
Taylor Gabriel, and Trey Burton, and they all finished behind Tariq Cohen in number of catches.
And they drafted Anthony Miller, too, I think, right?
And Anthony Miller was right behind them, actually, as well.
Huh.
So, you know, those guys. And then I said, look, can you get – and by the way, those three guys they added, talking about the two receivers and the tight end, they added up to just shy of 2,000 yards total. And I think 12 or 14 touchdowns. I have it in the article. And my point is, can you get Cole Beasley, John Brown, and then one of your other guys to get to that level? Because that's what it might – and then you add in a T.J. Yeldon or a back. Like, I think that you can – you can talk yourself into, yep, I think that's because Zay Jones and Robert Foster themselves added up to close to 1,200 yards last year.
Well, it got me.
So,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it got me thinking that point. Now, how much are the Bills going to use their backs? Like, right, we've spent this whole offseason talking about what? Got to get a better wide receiving core. You know, yeah, offensive line. Now we're talking about tight end with the Kroft injury. How much will the backs factor in the passing game since you brought up the Trubisky-Cohen stat?
I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, they're not the same offense, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Matt Nagy there, and maybe they rely on that more. But the Bills did sign T.J. Yeldon. He's a pass-catching running back. You know, I think they'd like to be able to use that part of their arsenal more to get teams to have to defend more of the field. I've said this to you guys a lot. I think one of the big things the Bills are trying to do is to force defenses to defend the entire field.
Yeah.
And that means even behind the line of scrimmage on passes, right? I mean, know that there's a running back there that I can throw to, whether that's a Yeldon or a LeSean McCoy or whoever. There's a Cole Beasley right there underneath in the slot. There's a, you know, mid-level guy in Zay Jones. There's a guy over the top in John Brown or Robert Foster. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know, like, what to expect from the Bills' running back pass catchers. I don't know if you want them to be where the Bears had Tariq Cohen. It's a different offense, different quarterbacks, obviously. But I do think that you want to get everybody involved and make sure a defense can defend the entire field.
The other article I wanted folks to read is about Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and their relationship. Let's just give them a little thumbnail sketch on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been kind of documented that these guys have trained together. They're both from California. They know each other. They've known each other for several years. You know, they grew up as quarterbacks and going to camps and things like that, but, you know, known each other in passing. But now, the last couple of years, especially last year prior to the draft, they trained together. They lived together even. You know, they both work with Jordan Palmer. Well, you know, they went back to that this year. And, you know, I asked Josh about it the other day when he met with the media. And, you know, he talked about his relationship with Sam and how they try to make each other better. And, you know, they're going to be hopefully playing each other a long time here and together against each other in a big rivalry. They both hope that, because if that's the case, then I think that means they're both doing well because they have known, you know, the teams haven't moved on from them. So, yeah, I think it's interesting to have this relationship. But what I think is cool is they had 1 year under their belt now that they're not training for the draft and saying, where are you going? Where am I going? Mm-hmm. What city am I going to live in? Now it's, okay, like, I play you, you play me, we're in the division. What'd you see? Like, Josh talked about how they kind of talked about some defenses they saw, how they adapted. And I think that's cool stuff that they can share that experience together. And that's what the article's about is, you know, where they're going and how their friendship has kind of fed off each other to make each other better.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, as always, for coming on with us. And we'll talk to you again next week with some more OTAs.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Sal with us on our Wester Hotline. Read his articles that we just talked about. They're available at WGR550.com. Sal's segment brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Hey, when you're at our website, make sure you get in our new contest here, a chance to win something really cool for Dad. Father's Day is coming up in June. You have a chance to win a brand new Weber grill from Value Home Centers, along with a prize pack and a gift card from Country Sweet Chicken and Rib Restaurant, just in time for Father's Day. So enter now through June 9th on the contest page at WGR550.com.
All right, I'm going to whine about something very, very dumb, okay? It's going to be stupid, but I...
Well, at least you set me up for it.
Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com. One key homegrown player for each AFC team. Needs to be said. No player is actually homegrown. Doesn't need to be said, but I'm saying it.
You were right.
It's dumb.
It is dumb. Wait, unless the player is born in the city where he's drafted.
Unless he's
like
in,
he's born in Buffalo, raised in Buffalo, and drafted by the Bills.
Right.
That is a homegrown.
Homegrown
player.
Saying, would be saying. A player plays for the Buffalo Junior Sabres, or I mean, even that.
Well, like,
wait, Baker Mayfield is homegrown from the Browns.
How about this? How about if a guy plays, if a kid plays high school football here, then goes to UB and is drafted by the Bills?
Even then, until these teams get academies and there is no draft, yeah, you know, you're picking guys. It's. You and I and Brayton go to Russell's Tree and Shrub Farm to go pick out plants.
Way to get in a plug for your sponsor.
You like that? You like
nice.
That?
Yeah.
And I get the first pick, and yeah. I pick that tree, and I right. say, homegrown, baby.
Well, of course it's homegrown.
Well, they started to grow it, and then I took it home.
Isn't everything homegrown at Russell's? I mean, they're all grown here.
Like I said, it was dumb. But I was just thinking about the idea
homegrown.
Of homegrown players. If he's an undrafted free agent, that signs on with the Bucks,
yeah,
and then gets cut, and you pick him up. Is he homegrown? First ever game plays for you? Or does that not count because he went to the Bucks first?
Homegrown. I guess in the NFL definition of homegrown, it's the team that he was
drafted.
With first.
Drafted, yeah.
Right.
Generally.
Whether drafted, undrafted, whatever. The first team he put his name on a piece of paper for.
Anyway, I told you it was dumb. So do you want to guess who the Bills' homegrown...
Best homegrown player?
Key player is?
Key player. The quarterback?
No.
Gee, he seems kind of important to me.
Not him. According to Greg Rosenthal, the key homegrown player.
Ed Oliver.
No. He's not homegrown yet. He's home planted.
Okay. Homegrown... Zay Jones.
No.
Lorenzo Alexander.
Not homegrown, and no.
No, yeah, it's got to be someone the Bills drafted.
Right, sorry.
Trey White.
No.
Tremaine Edmonds.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Why wouldn't it be the quarterback?
I don't know. It's Tremaine Edmonds, though.
Seems like Josh would have like a really, like how he plays, I feel like will have a big impact on the season.
It is interesting, though, that it took you so long to get to Edmonds. If possible, is he under-talked about? I don't say underrated, but yeah. he kind of just, he just under the radar.
Under the radar.
Whatever.
We talked more about Milano last year than Edmonds, quite honestly.
We did, and yeah. Now you talk about Oliver a lot, and yep. Hughes gets the extension, and Trey White mm-hmm. has been good for, you know, Edmonds is just kind of, he's the second first-round pick in the year where they picked a quarterback, so it's almost like he kind of just... Oh, yeah, that's right.
But look at how many other guys. You didn't even get all the guys you'd mentioned. You might mention before Edmonds. You might even bring up the safeties. You might bring up Poyer and Hyde before you get to Edmonds. You could bring up Jerry Hughes before you get to Edmonds. And again, it's no slight. I guess it is a slight on Edmonds. But he was not the first guy that came to mind. Because, I don't know. How do I explain this to you, Jeremy? I'm just, my gut went to Ed Oliver, Trey White, before I got to Tremaine Edmonds. Maybe because I just, he had kind of an up-and-down rookie season. And really, from the linebacker position, Milano was far more effective last year than Edmonds was. And even Brayton mentioning Lorenzo Alexander. But, yeah, I think Edmonds is still all about potential. You know, Edmonds is kind of like Josh Allen. Hey, I saw some nice things from the kid. There were some rough moments, some growing pains. I think he got better as the season went on. Kid's got a really high ceiling, and he's really young, and hopefully he'll be successful. He's kind of a younger version of Josh Allen. It's the same idea.
He's a younger version of almost everybody in the NFL.
Yeah, he's 20.
He's pretty young.
Yeah. So I wouldn't have thought of him first because I think with Tremaine Edmonds, there's still a lot left in terms of development. There's some potential from what we saw, but a lot left in terms of development.
Quick thing for the weekend. It's supposed to rain tomorrow.
No.
But
the
back half of the weekend is supposed to be pretty nice. Sunday and Monday. So best of luck to everybody out there who has trained for the last however many months for the half marathon. The Buffalo Marathon is Sunday. So good luck to everybody, and congratulations in advance.
Yard work today then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the plan.
Good day for that.
803-0550 to join us. Coming up in the next hour, John Perry at 8:30. He is the new officiating analyst for ESPN. Spent 12 years as a referee in the National Football League. We will talk, among other things, about the new pass interference challenge rule and the owners this week talking about not using booth review for that rule. So we'll delve into that at the bottom of the next hour, which is in 30 seconds going to be this hour on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.